Good morning. Those of you that are visiting with us, we're grateful for your presence, as well as our regular members. As was mentioned earlier, we're grateful for your presence and being here. If you have not concluded already from the announcement earlier, I'm not one of the regular preachers here. I'm one of the elders, and one of the things we have decided as elders is each one of us is going to try and present some type of a lesson to you during the year, which I think is a good idea. Chip spoke to you several months back. I think you've heard Rick a time or two, and it's my turn this morning. And throughout the rest of the year, I think you should hear each of the other elders get up and present some thoughts. So it's my turn today, and I'm grateful for that opportunity. I picked out what I wanted to speak about probably 3 or 4 months ago, and as typically happens, it seems like over the past couple weeks, several men have preached on similar topics, and it was a little late for me to change my subject matter, but that's okay. Several weeks back, Rob spoke and talked about the idea of being a Christian and what that means, and at times, some of the things that we might end up having problems over if we're not careful. Last week, my brother Andy got up and spoke about, out of the book of Ephesians, the idea of unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And Sam Carter spoke to us Wednesday out of the book of John in 17 and loving one another and what that looks like. And a similar topic for me, I wanted to talk to us about the idea of being a family of God and what that means. And I don't apologize for preaching a similar lesson. I also want you to understand what I'm going to speak to you about is not because of problems that I see going through the congregation or a division that's being caused in any fashion. In fact, it's just the opposite. Mary and I have been here about 6 years now, and when we moved here and since that time, we've very much felt as part of a family. And it's, if you haven't been in a lot of other places to worship, it's not always a common thing to have a group of people that are working together and things are going like they're supposed to. Since the time we've been here, we've had elders that have been overseeing and caring about the flock, deacons that have been serving, members that love one another, and that's important. That's part of what we're supposed to be. And when we're doing that, we're being effective workers of God and an example to those around us. I guess the thing that I wanted to make sure I speak to you about is somebody's not happy about that when things are going well. Satan does not like it when we're doing what we're supposed to and when we're getting along. And he's going to take every opportunity that he can to throw a wrench into that and cause division between us. And we can't let that happen. And God speaks to that quite a bit in his Bible. And I'm going to read some passages today and look at some things and discuss some things to help make sure that we stay focused going forward. And as we grow, that we continue to look at what our goal is and treat each other the way we're supposed to in love, as some of the other men have done. And I'm going to start off by reading a couple passages. You don't have to turn to them if you want to write them down and look them up later. And this is not an exhaustive list. Romans 14:19 says, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another." Romans 15:5, "Now the God of patience and consolation grant to you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." 2 Corinthians 13:11, "Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you." Ephesians 4:3, "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace." Philippians 1:27, it says that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together. Philippians 2:2, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Philippians 3:16, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same things. And then 1 Peter 3:8, finally, be you all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren. Again, there's a lot more I could have put on there, and we're going to talk about some other things, but I guess my point in reading those all right in a row, God cares how we act towards one another, and he cares how united we are and that we're all on the same page. I want you to think about the concept of what it means to be a family of God. Each and every one of us have or have had in our lives some type of a physical family. Parents, children, relatives. Depending on where you came from, you may or may not have had a really good family relationship. Some of us may not have. Some of us may have had just the best possible relationship we could have with our parents and our siblings. God takes each and every one of us from whatever different walks of life we come from, different countries, different backgrounds, and he unites us all through his son and starts us over and says, you know what, you're my children now, and you are now a spiritual family. And we get to try and live the way that God wants as a family. And he gives us instructions on how to do that, regardless of what type of family relationship we had in our physical families. That's quite a blessing. That's quite a blessing to be able to be called the children of God. In fact, basically we're told that same thing. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. In 1 John 3:1. It's a pretty neat concept that I can look at each and every one of you that have accepted the Lord and say, you're my brother. Andrew's from a different country than I am. He's my brother. Born in two different places, we both love the Lord. We're both working together. You can look at anybody in this congregation that may be completely different than you in how you were raised and how you approach life. Once we accept the Lord and are trying to do what we're supposed to, we're united. We're brothers and sisters. And that's important that we remember that in the things that we say and do to each other going forward in our lives. Picture, if you will, some of the difficulties that may have occurred in the early New Testament church with the same thing, maybe even to more extent than what we see, people coming from different backgrounds. Being a Jew, maybe somebody that faithfully tried to follow the Lord from the time they were born, going and sacrificing and going to the synagogue or to the temple. And then this new thing comes along and the Lord says, this is what I want you to do as part of my kingdom. Okay, that's pretty natural to me. I've always tried to do what God wants me to do. Or somebody that comes completely from another direction. I was an idol worshiper. I did things that the world might accept, but that I didn't know there was a God. I didn't know there was a Jehovah. And yet he forgave me and allowed me to come into this kingdom. And then God takes these people and puts them together and says, you are now one. You are one family. And do you think that presented any difficulties or problems for them in the early church? I know it did. That might be tough for a Jewish Christian to look at somebody else coming from a background and saying, you know, that's a pretty wild person. I guess we're all in the same family, but, you know, they're not going to be my close relation. There was the temptation to do that. And in fact, even when God tried to explain to Peter, you know, it's okay now. Arise, kill and eat, and then Cornelius basically is converted. Oh, okay, I get it now. God has torn down this division that we used to have. There were challenges there. Might not there be those same challenges for us today? I think so. And I need to be careful and mindful of that, that I do not put up walls or put up divisions where God has torn them down. Some of you may have been raised worshiping the Lord since your youth. And yet, when you got to that age, that was just the next step. I'm going to obey the gospel. I'm of age, and I know I need to do that, and I understand what sin is. Some of you may have come from other places. Is there a difference? No. Chip basically talked about at the table this morning. Nobody's going to be able to look back and say, well, I did it all right. I never sinned. Basically, God owes me heaven. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. When you look at Romans chapter 7 and chapter 8, he spells it out. There's no difference, Jews. There's no different Gentiles on where you came from. Each and every one of us failed the Lord, either with the law or without the law. And God has started us over as a family. So God tears down that division and starts us over. That's where we're at. And then we're placed in a family with all these different, sometimes really different individuals that were united by Christ. And we have to learn to deal with each other and treat each other the way that God wants us to as a family. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians, if you will. We're going to spend a little bit of time in the book of Corinthians and look at some of the challenges that may have been presented to the people at that time. And there's a number of them in the church of Corinth. Paul starts off in verse 10. He says, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am Apollos. I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? And he goes on to talk about, was Paul baptized for you? Or was Paul crucified for you? You know, the only thing that brings us together from our past is going to be we're united in Jesus and what he's done for us. Not in anything that we can look at physically, not in anything that we've on our own done spiritually by which we might boast. We're all united in Christ. If you look at verse 29 and 30, basically it says of chapter 1, that no flesh shall glory in his presence. Verse 31 says, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. So again, the thing that's going to unite us, or the thing that's going to let each one of us be glorified before the Lord, has nothing to do with us. It's going to be because of what God has done for us. Why does it matter that we don't have divisions in the church? That might seem fairly obvious, but Matthew chapter 12, verse 25 says this. Jesus says, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. So, just like a family, if things are not working well, where people are not getting along, if the kingdom is not doing what it's supposed to, and we have division, if the church isn't what it's supposed to be, if we don't look at each other as a family and being on the same united plane, we won't stand. We're going to end up having problems, and that's what we want to avoid. Chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. He says in verse 1, I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal. As to babes in Christ, I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now, you were not able to receive it. Even now, you're not able to receive it, for you're still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, or another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Basically, what he's saying is, if we allow things to separate us and we get divided over various issues, he says, are you not acting as mere men? As opposed to what? As opposed to the children of God. We're supposed to act different than the world. We're supposed to not look out for our own interests only. We're supposed to put one another's needs before ourselves. And when we're not doing that, we're acting like the world. And we're acting like mere men. And God expects more of us than that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm not going to read all of this chapter, but it is a very good chapter. Basically, the idea that's being spoke of here is some spiritual gifts that the church was given at the time to help them before they had the revealed word complete and when they didn't always have apostles with them. But they ended up having some problems or fighting or jealousies over some of these gifts. And starting in verse 4, it says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. And the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. He goes on and talks about miracles and tongues. Verse 12, he says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. And he gives some pretty good thoughts on talking about us being various parts. He says, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. Skipping down to verse 25, he says, that there should be no divisions in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Pretty good picture. Each and every one of us are a little different. Different skills, different abilities. We may not have miraculous gifts that they had back then, but we still have different abilities that maybe some of us don't. Does that make those of us with different abilities any less valuable to the Lord? Nope. Each and every one of us has a part to do. And God expects us to do that. And he expects each one of us to look at each other as valuable members and say, we're a part of the same group. We're all part of the whole. And if I cut off my arm and cut off my leg, I could probably still get by, but I wouldn't be able to function like I'm supposed to. I need my arm. I need you guys, and you need me. And we need to look at each other that way and say, you know what, that's how we're united through Christ. We each have a part to play, and we're each just as valuable as the other. One more thing in 1 Corinthians. Let's turn back to chapter 6 real fast. I'm going to read the first 7 verses. It says, "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? I say this to your shame. Is it so that there are no wise men among you, not even one who will be able to judge between his brethren? But brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers. Now therefore it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated?" I'm not aware in any fashion of any of you guys taking each other to court. I don't think that's a real big threat here. I think it's the attitude that I want to make sure that we're paying attention to here. Because we're all one, because we're all a body, does that mean there's never going to be any disagreements, or there's never going to be any hurt feelings, or I don't think so. I don't know what your physical families were like, but we had that in our family growing up when I was a kid. Didn't always get along with my brothers and sisters. And that may very well be the case here. There's going to be times when we've got something against our brother, or something that we feel like somebody's offended us in some fashion. Has God given us a way to deal with that? He has. He has. He's given us several ways to deal with it. And I think you know most of those. And not all of them are easy. If I feel that my brother has wronged me in some fashion, what does God expect me to do about it? And what do I do about it? First of all, God would expect me to go and talk to my brother. Say, you know, got this thing. What did you mean by this? Or, you know, I'm a little bugged at you about something. That's one option right there. Or if you know that you've done something to hurt somebody's feelings, intentional or not intentional, or maybe you're even in the right, what does God want you to do about it? He wants you to go fix it and clear the air and get so that you and your brother are on the same page again. Well, what if I'm right? I know I'm right and they're wrong. Get over it. Basically, isn't it better to be wronged than to lose your brother or to have your brother mad at you? Yep. Be wronged and live with it. Or if it's just something that can't be worked out, present company not included in this, we've got some pretty wise elders here that bring it to the church. If you've got an issue, come and talk to the elders and say, you know what, got some concerns here, and we'll try and help you work it out. Because what we want here is peace and truth and everybody on the same page. And everybody loving each other. That's what God wants us to do. So I think we can do that. And I think we have been doing that. And we need to continue doing that going forward. Other things we can do. Pray for one another. It's hard to stay bugged at somebody when you're praying for them. Because you know you're talking to God about somebody. And The other part of that, too, when you pray, we're supposed to look inwardly. And maybe I've got a part in this conflict that I might have with my brother. Look to myself before I look to my brother being in the wrong. What's the wrong thing to do? If somebody wrongs you, what might be your reaction? I don't know. Maybe you're not a fighter. But that's man's tendency. If you get hit, I'm going to hit you back. We can't be that way. Jesus tells us not to be that way. We don't need to get them back. We don't need to talk to everybody else about it. You know, so-and-so wronged me. I'll just put some insinuations out there and say some bad things about them. God doesn't want that. We need to go talk to the person or get over it, and not to go talk to everybody else about it. Or I just won't talk to them at all. I'll shun them. You ever seen that? Yeah. In our perfect physical family in our house, that never has any problems, that's typically how I get sometimes. If something bugs me, I get quiet. I'm just going to do my own thing, and Mary doesn't let me get away with that. She'll come and talk to me. Are you bugged at me? Did I do something wrong? Nope. You know what? It can't stay that way very long. Either I got to get over it, or I got to say, okay, well, I got bugged about something. Knock it off. Talk it out. Work out what the problem is so that you're back on the same page again. That's exactly what we need to do. God expects that of us. If we don't do that, and we keep it inside, and we let it fester and grow, what's going to happen? When you do say something, you're gonna explode. You're going to let it go farther than it should have because you've been thinking about it. And God says, don't let the sun go down upon your anger or your wrath. Deal with it. That's how we stay united and stay a family. We talk to each other and work things out. Is that easy to have somebody come and talk to you and tell you that they've got a problem with you? Is that easy to hear sometimes? Nope. But you know what's harder? Talking to them. It's hard to go talk to somebody. The easy thing to do is, if you can forgive them and get past it, then do that. But otherwise, go fix it. That's not an easy thing to do. And remember that if somebody comes and talks to you, it's because they love you. Romans chapter 14, 13, and 15:1 talks about the idea of not putting a stumbling block before our brother. There may be some things that we have some disagreements on that maybe really aren't that big a deal to the Lord or to somebody else, but it might be to our brother. What if I know it's okay for me to do something, but my brother doesn't think it's a good idea, or he thinks it's wrong? Do I throw that out in his face and say, I've got a right to do this, whether you like it or not? Just the opposite. The idea is talked about of eating meats that were offered to idols. Idols being nothing, a piece of wood or a chunk of rock. But the fact that some Christians would eat that meat that had been offered to idols bothered the brothers. Basically, Paul says, if it's going to bother my brother that I might eat this meat, I'll give up eating it. I don't need to do this. It doesn't matter. Our relationship with each other is more important than pushing our way, whether we've got a right to do something or not. You guys mean more to me than that. You should. We're family. that should take precedence over most other things that I might want to do. And we need to be sensitive to each other's needs and feelings and conscience and not push something on our brother. Let's look at Galatians real fast. We're almost done. Galatians 3, starting at verse 26, says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." God lists several things here that says, these are things we're not going to make issues or divisions over or draw lines where there shouldn't be any. Jew nor Greek, slave or free, male or female. What are some other things we might add to that list in today's society? There's no black or white. Race doesn't matter. I've not been to the South, but are there really churches that are black churches and white churches? I hope not. I imagine at times in the country there's been things like that. How sad. We're a family. We don't make divisions over things like that. How about rich and poor? Was that ever an issue in the New Testament times? Yep. Do we have some here that are rich and some that are poor? Maybe not poor in the world's view of poor, but we might look at it that way. Could that ever be a distraction for us or have us look at our brothers as different than ourselves? Let's not let that happen. On either side. Rob mentioned something in his class today. How about Republican and Democrat? We all serve a king. We're all a family. That's little stuff. That doesn't matter. Not in comparison. I'll throw another one out there for you. Don't give me any bad notes later. Well, I went to a certain religious college, or my kids did, and you didn't. Is there any attitude or division in any fashion and feelings because of where we might have gone to school or not gone to school or educated? There better not be. That's not part of what being a Christian is all about. We can't let things like that serve any kind of a dividing line over us. God tells us what we need to do to be Christians. You know, I've been at churches, and I'm not saying that's here, and we won't ever let it get that way. Excuse me. I've been at churches where they would not hire a preacher who had not graduated from a certain college. Shame. That's ridiculous. We're united in what fashion? Because we've obeyed our Lord in baptism and God made us brothers and sisters. That's what matters. Let's remember that and not let it divide us. How about age? I've always liked the fact that we've got some young folks that sit up front here. Make sure that we're being inclusive in that as we go forward. And as younger little guys start trying to get up into that age and become part of the group, that you guys let them into that group, that we old guys and ladies aren't looking at you and your youth and thinking that we're different or better than you. We're a family. God wants us like this. He wants those that are older teaching the younger. That's how we need to look at this. And I think we can do that. I'll tell you another silly one real fast. I used to be a big San Diego Chargers fan. I got into sports. I would come home from services and I would watch the football game. And every time they lost, I would go back to services depressed and be in a bad mood. And that was typical because they lost a lot. Our arch enemies were the Oakland Raiders. I hated the Oakland Raiders. I still hate the Oakland Raiders. For a while, they were the Los Angeles Raiders. And my sister, I think on purpose, married a guy from Los Angeles to spite me. And I used to think, how can you be a Christian and like the Raiders? They're so evil. You know what? My brother-in-law, Greg, is just one of the greatest Christians there is. He's a great guy. And I had to get to the point where I had to stop watching football because it ruined my spiritual day on Sunday. And it's a game. It's a game. I'm a child of God. Don't let silly things like that cause division or hard feelings or... I know that sounds silly, but we can let silly things come between us sometimes, and that's not okay. So that's about the extent of what I wanted to say. Why does it matter? I mentioned earlier to you that if we're not acting like we're supposed to be, we can't stand. We're going to divide. Andy talked a little bit about it last week. As children of God, as a family of God, each and every one of us right now are on a stage with the world watching and Satan watching, and all the powers that be are looking at us to see how we're going to act. We're supposed to be different than the world. And if we're acting like we're supposed to as a united, loving family, and we're talking about the Lord, that's how we spread God's word. If we're fighting, we're not getting along, a couple things happen. Our example shows to the world that we're really no different. We're not functioning like we're supposed to. I mean, you can't have a body that's punching itself. It just doesn't work. If we're going to be a functioning family, we need to love each other and treat each other as we're supposed to. And again, I'm not saying this because I know of problems or contentions or... I just don't want to ever see that. And let's remember that as we go forward in how we treat each other and how we act and the decisions we make and when we're bugged about things. And the same thing goes true, not just with you members, but if you've got things towards the elders that you've got concerns with, come and talk to us. We want to be approachable on things. And you know what? If we're not in the right on something or you've got some concerns, point it out to us. That's exactly what God wants. That's how we're going to stay on the right path. So I'm going to stop talking now and sit down. If there's anyone here who has not become part of the family of God yet, you're missing out. You're missing out on a family relationship that God would want you to have. And you're also missing out on the spiritual blessings where all of those things are found, which is in Jesus. Forgiveness of sins and a promise of the afterlife of being with him. So there's an opportunity now. If you've not obeyed the gospel, you can come and be baptized. If there's things that we can help you with through prayers, that opportunity is available to you. Or whatever we can do for you. We're going to stand and sing a song right now, and you're welcome to come forward as we stand and sing.